Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and in our studies, we are working through an in-depth study of Matthew chapter 24. We've been focusing on verse 15, which mentions the abomination of desolation. This passage reads as follows: "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." In our studies thus far this week, we've already looked at two of the three references in the book of Daniel, which help us understand this phrase, because Jesus says, spoken by Daniel the prophet. The two references we've looked at are Daniel 11, verse 31, and chapter 9, verse 27. Today, we'll look at the third and final reference in the book of Daniel, where this phrase, abomination of desolation, appears. And we'll also look at one other important New Testament passage, which gives us added insight as to the understanding of this phrase. The passage in the book of Daniel is found in chapter 12, verse 11, which reads, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So Daniel tells us here that there'll be 1,290 days, or 3 years and 4 months, left at the point the abomination of desolation takes place. Now, it's important to see from this text that it says the abomination of desolation is going to be set up. And from our previous studies, what we have seen is that this is the point the Antichrist goes into the temple and demands to be worshipped as God. And he will then demand that all take a mark upon their bodies to identify themselves with their allegiance to him. But notice the text does say it's going to be set up. Apparently, as we will put scriptures together in our study tomorrow, the Antichrist will also leave an image in the temple which represents him that is to be worshipped. And here the scripture tells us in verse 11 that when this event takes place, there shall be 1,290 days. This is why this abomination of desolation is so important in relationship to biblical prophecy, because it says once this takes place, 1,290 days later, that's when the end will be. That's when the Lord will come back. Now, there's one important thing that we need to understand. There's no way that anyone knows the day or the hour in which the Lord is going to come back. It says when this event takes place, 1,290 days later, that's when the second coming will be. But it doesn't mean that someone could calculate by verses or use some sort of equation to figure out when the Lord will come back. And there are people that have done that and will continue to do so, but they are wrong. All you have to do is go to Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, which says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father." And so he says, no one knows the day or the hour in which the Lord is going to come back. Only the Father has that information. Jesus said while he was here on the earth as the Son of Man, he didn't even know when that was to take place. And that is in reference to him in his humanity. Now that he's in heaven, of course he knows the day and the hour in which he is going to come back. In reference to people setting dates, just don't listen to them, because they are claiming to know more than what Jesus Christ himself knew while he was here on the earth. Our role is to be spiritually alert, to be watching and praying, being used by the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter when he's going to come back, whether it's in our generation or in our lifetime or way off in the future. It doesn't matter. We are to be ready for the Lord's coming. But for our study, the abomination of desolation is that event which takes place, which marks that will be 1,290 days before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, an important reference in the New Testament, which gives great detail as what the abomination of desolation is all about, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verses 3 through 12. And starting there at verse 3, it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So the Antichrist is given other titles here. He's the man of sin, or the man that will bring in sin or is consumed by sin, the son of perdition, the one who is from perdition as well as who will go to perdition or God's ultimate judgment. And it says here's what he will do. And this is the best description or the most detailed description as to the meaning of the abomination of desolation. It says who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the abomination of desolation is that abomination, that false worship of the Antichrist, when he goes into the temple, stops the sacrificial system, claims to be God, shows that he is God, and demands to be worshipped. At that point, the Lord says, there'll be 1,290 days. Now, I remember when I first started studying prophecy, I always wondered, how is it that the world could fall for the Antichrist? How is it they would worship him as God? And how is it that although there's many churches today, that there'd be many that would follow after him? Well, first of all, we read that there's going to be a great apostasy or a great falling away that'll take place first. There'll be a religious system that's set up that allow for tolerance, that allow for all of the viewpoints being taught from the pulpit. But then also, in verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And so what the Antichrist will be able to do, because he'll be empowered by the devil, is he'll be able to work miracles. And because of that, that'll bring in deception. And people will say, well, he does miracles, he must be from God. And that's how they're going to authenticate his position. Rather than determining what he teaches based on the word of God, if it's accurate, they'll authenticate him by miracles. Now, I'm not against miracles. I want miracles in my life. I want miracles in our ministry. But that's not the last thing that authenticates that someone is from God. Because there will be people who will be able to tap into a false power, which will ultimately be from Satan, and that does not authenticate them that they are from God. They may be able to prophesy, because the Lord said there will be false prophets in the last days. They'll be able to do lying signs and wonders. But you need to listen to what they teach. That's how you authenticate someone. And in the last days, people are not going to be willing or able to do that, because there's going to be a falling away from the faith. There's going to be a hardening of the hearts. And then verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive a love for the truth that they might be saved. Then verse 11 goes on to say, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The problem is that there will be a falling away because people do not have a love for the truth. And in response to that, it says that God will send them strong delusion that they believe this lie, that this man is God, and they'll begin to worship him as God. This is exactly what is also recorded in Revelation chapter 13, that the Antichrist will use false miracles to drive people to himself to worship him as God. And in Revelation chapter 13, it speaks of another individual that will be present in the last days who we refer to as the false prophet. And it says of him in verse 14 and following these words, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, or the beast being the Antichrist, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would worship the image of the beast to be killed. Also verse 13 says, he performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. So the Antichrist himself will be able to do lying signs and wonders, as well as his co-worker, the false prophet, where he's even able to call fire down from heaven, and he'll use these miracles to support the idea that the Antichrist, the beast, should be worshipped. And once again, we see the danger of people basing what they believe on their experience or what they see rather than on the Word of God. Added to this religious deception will also be the fact that it'll be desperate times. The Bible speaks that there'll be famine and pestilences and earthquakes. There'll be scarcity upon the face of the earth. And that's the environment where a false Messiah is able to rise up, because people get so desperate, they're looking for a leader. That's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany, where the German people were desperate for a leader. And here's a charismatic individual that rose up to lead them to power and to strength and to military victory. And the people followed along in his heels. The exact same thing will take place to a greater degree when the Antichrist rises up. I think of Revelation chapter 6, and when it speaks of the seal judgment, of the scarcity, the famine that will be upon the land, as an example, which is found in Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6, which is when he opened the third seal. I heard the third living creature saying, come and see, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And so here's an individual with scales in his hand, which probably represent some sort of rationing system. And a denarius here is a day's wage. So someone would work all day for a denarius, and it says that's what you're able to purchase, three quarts of barley or a quart of wheat. And a quart of wheat was used to make a loaf of bread. So you have to work all day just to get a loaf of bread or to get three quarts of barley. And barley was the food that only those that were in abject poverty used. It was also the food for the animals. So you work all day just to get food that was typically given to the animals. That's a desperate situation that's going to take place, as well as a religious apostasy, as well as all the other turmoil where Luke refers to as perplexity of nations. So there's going to be a desperate time, and in the midst of that, the Antichrist will rise up and lead people to a false sense of security, a false sense of peace, and then during that tribulation period will demand to be worshipped as God. And just with the little bit of time that we have left, I'd like to exhort you to develop a true love for the Word of God. The Scriptures are that light unto our path which directs us so that we won't fall into deception. I love what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, which says, "We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." So Peter says that we are to heed the word of God because it's a light that shines in a dark place. It shows us what is true. It shows us what is accurate. And we're to do that until the morning star rises in our heart. That term, the morning star, is a reference to the Messiah, the second coming of Christ. So we are to have a love for the Word of God, a devotion to it, an allegiance to it, which will safeguard us against this evil time that's approaching. And we do that until the Lord comes back or until our life ends. So if you build your life upon the Word of God, you won't have to worry because it would be like building upon a rock, Jesus said. And storms will come and false teachers will come, but you won't be led astray because you'll have your life built on solid grounds. And I encourage you to develop a real love and devotion for the Scriptures. And really, that is our heart and passion here at Solid Ground. We want to see your life be built upon the truth of the Word of God. In any way that we could help you in doing that, in studies of the Word of God, we'd like to be helpful and see you equipped for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. If you'd like to get in contact with us here at Solid Ground, you could call us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. That's 1-877-941-LAMB.